Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good evening. It's Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Today is Thursday, the 10th of March. We welcome you to the show. We're live this morning. This evening. It's 8:30 p.m. on March the 10th. Amen. If you're listening online, you can call to 646-668-2636. And join the conversation by pressing one on your keypad. Also, you can reach us at Issues Christian Men's Talk. I got a Facebook page there. You can contact us there and listen to past broadcasts and also get some information. We have a couple of events coming up. We wanted to announce to audiences today, coming up in the month of March and in the month of April. Amen. So we're going to open with scripture and then and prayer, and we're going to get straight into the conversation. Amen. Amen. This evening, we're going to be reading from 1 Peter, chapter number 5, and we're going to start at verse number 5. And the Word of God says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brethren in the world. But may the grace May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Father God, we say thank you today, O God. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, O God, to speak into the lives of men, to encourage them, O God, to speak encouragement, to speak love, to speak kindness, to speak blessings over their lives, Lord. Father, we ask that you would continue to touch them, O God. Touch their lives, God. Let the words that we speak be encouraging and edifying, O God. They might be able to go on and not give up and seek, O God, to do your will and find the purpose of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 This evening we have a couple of announcements coming up. We have a couple of events. We have our Coalition of Men's Ministry Man Up events coming on April the 9th. That is Saturday, April the 9th from 10 a.m. at 2:30 p.m. It's going to be located locally here in the Baltimore, Maryland area, Baltimore, D.C. area. It's going to be held at the Freetown Community Center at 7825 Freetown Road in Glenbury, Maryland. The information, again, you can contact us on the Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page or give us a call at 443-591-3504. We'll get you the details and get you registered for that event if they're requesting a $25 donation for that event. And we pray that you will come out and spend some time in fellowship with the brothers to be encouraged, enlightened, and also we're going to discuss and find some of the solutions to some of the issues that men are facing today. Next week, we'll have details on some of the session topics, and some of our presenters will come on and share a little bit what they're going to be talking about. So we encourage you to come back and join us next week. We're here every Monday at 8 p.m. and every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. So next week, we'll have some of the speakers and presenters on, and we'll be discussing a little bit what we have planned for that event. Amen? Again, that's Man Up, Coalition of Ministries to Men, Man Up, Stand as a Watchman on the Wall. Amen. We have an event coming up here that's being hosted by the Howard County Coalition to End Intimate Partner Violence. It's the 2016 Dialogue Series. In this series, well, this event is going to be the Interpretation of Scripture, Power and Control. And that's going to be on Tuesday, March the 29th, 2016, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And it's going to be held at the United Methodist Church Mission Center at 11711 East Marketplace in Fulton, Maryland. You can go to the website. It's wearehopeworks.org /events, or you can give them a call at 410-997-0304. And we're going to it's going to be talking about domestic violence because in scripture and how through how faith-based community can address domestic violence, how we can minister, how we can put some things in place in our churches to be able to handle it. Because if someone came to one of our services or one of our Bible studies and they were a victim, what will we do? And that's what we're going to be discussing there. And also the culture in the church. Some old cultures, you know, it's not really, well, we're going to change the mindset of people and leaders on how we handle domestic violence. And it's a lot more than just physical. It could be emotional, financial, psychological. So some of these things is going to be discussed at that event. Again, that's on Tuesday, March the 29th. At the United Methodist Church Mission Center. And again, you can go to the Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, and the post there and the information is there on the page. Amen? Amen. And we have one more event coming up this Saturday. This Saturday, for all my brothers and sisters, all my brothers out there, if you're free this week, it's going to be a nice day. We're going to start off with a men's breakfast by the Dadasco Ministry, Men's Ministry. It's a free breakfast. It's going to be held on Saturday, March the 12th. At 9 a.m., and it's going to be held at 9833 Liberty Road in Randallstown, Maryland, at 21133. That's 9833 Liberty Road in Randallstown, Maryland, and that's within Baltimore County, I do believe. But they'll be having a men's event. Also, you can see that posted on Facebook, or you can reach out to us, and we'll give you the address and direction. And that's going to be on this Saturday at 9 a.m. So we encourage you to come out and fellowship. You know, bring somebody with you. Bring your sons, your grandsons, your nephews, and any neighbors, your neighbor's sons, and just come out and share and be in fellowship with the brothers. Amen. Pastor Watkins, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Brother Deacon. I'm well, sir. How are you?
Amen. We're good. We're doing very well today. It was a nice warm day. Got up to 80 today. In Maryland, so I said, guess summer's here. We don't get no more snow.
I wouldn't quite rule it out just yet.
Okay, well, we'll wait a couple of minutes. Remember, this is Maryland. We did a couple of minutes, something might change. Amen. But today, bro, we're gonna. I wanted to continue to talk a little bit more about what we talked about on our previous segment. We were talking about men and their relationships. And how we treat others, and we wanted to go into a little bit more of that. I wanted to discuss a little bit more because I wanted to come with some scripture and some scriptures because again, the Word of God gives us direction on how we should live and how we would treat each other. And sometimes we take some scriptures and we type to what I want to say. We turn them into cliches. We can say them, but are we living them? Because we want to be as the scripture says. We want to be doers of the word and just not hearers. So a lot of times we read a scripture and we don't think that applies to our situation because, you know, people do stuff to us. It's different. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Not them folk I know. It's just, you know, it's just in general. So, and this is one of the things that, we have to be able to struggle with when we talk about having a renewed mind and being obedient to what Christ says and to his teaching. Because obedience, our salvation, is connected to our obedience because you're going to judge us for all situations. So one of the things I wanted to touch on, let's go real quick. We're going to go to scripture real quick. We can go to Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 26. And that's one of the scriptures I wanted to really discuss a little bit here and get your insight on that. It says, "For we all are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you were baptized in Christ, having put on Christ, that neither Jew or Greek, there is neither slave or free, there is neither male or female, for you all are one in the body of Christ. And if you all are in one, Abraham, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And when we see that, we talk about being heirs. That means we're co-heirs, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I know a lot of folk in the church, outside the church, realize when we call each other brother and sister what that truly means. That means we're co-heirs in Christ. So how we should treat each other should be you know, it should be that brotherly and sisterly, you know, companionship, that kind of faith, that kind of a bond, that we try to sustain relationships with one another who are in Christ. Because, again, if we look at the example of in the book of Acts, when the church was under persecution, there was no other choice for the first Christians. And I think sometimes in this culture we get away from that. We don't realize that we ought to encourage one another and sustain relationships with those who claim to be in Christ and have the grace and the patience, no matter who they are and no matter what they're going through, or even, you know, how they carry themselves. Because, again, we're called into the body of Christ. We're not called to be – we're called to make disciples and not carbon copies. So we shouldn't expect everyone to look like we are, walk like we are, and talk like we are. What do you think, sir?
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Deacon. You know, when we look to read Scripture and we're trying to understand what God is trying to tell us, sometimes we have to immerse ourselves in the situation so that we can better understand what the person is trying to say. In this particular passage of Scripture, the writer is talking about the fact that at that time there were people who were, there were Jews, there were Gentiles, there were different areas of folk, and the gospel is now coming together and bringing all those people. There were Romans, there were Greeks, there were all these people coming together. And what the writer is saying is that once we all come together under the bond of Christ, and that means believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again and sits at the right hand of God the Father, we now are the Bible calls us, engrafted into the body of Christ. That means that we are all brothers and sisters. We are all on the same level. And there is no more distinction whether you're black or white, whether you're Greek or Jew, whether you're slave or free at that time. It was saying that we are all the same. And the thing that is important about this is that we as brothers have to understand that there are no big I's and little U's, that we are all on the same level from the pulpit to the door. Even though one may stand higher than the other, we are still all brothers and sisters in the eyes of Christ. And that doesn't make me any better than you or you any less than I am. And that's the way that we need to treat each other, like we are all on the same level, like we are brothers and sisters. Now, I don't know about you, Deke, but I had brothers and I had sisters, and we didn't always treat each other the nicest. But when it came time together for the family to come up against somebody who was not family, family came together and stuck up for family. And this is what we need to do. It's not saying that we're all going to be perfect. It's not saying that we're all going to agree on everything. We're not saying that. But what we're saying is that when we come together for a single purpose. And if anybody has to come against that purpose, then we all stand together. And in standing together, we bond and link each other together and hold each other up. This is the love and that we should show as brothers, that we should be there to hold our brothers up. This is why when we get together and pray, we lock arms to show our symbolism that we are a chain, and that if you at some point can't stand, I'm there. You got two brothers on either side of you to hold you up and till you get to the point where you're able to stand. This is the love that we need to show between brothers. And this is what the scripture is talking about, that we are all same. We are all heirs. We are all engrafted in to the body of Christ, and we are all the same. We all stand and share the love of God. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. I agree. And that's one of the things we have to understand. You know, we all came into the family of God. And once we have that confession of faith in Christ, we are a family. Now, like you said, we are family, but we have to work that thing out. We have differences, but none of the things that we go through as we grow and as we grow together, that, you know, we shouldn't separate them. It should draw us closer together. And more of God, if God can be shown more in our lives if we would have that same patience. And sometimes we have to see it that way. I think that's the way we need to see it in the natural. But in the spiritual, we're grafted in, and we, like you were saying, and we're brothers and sisters under one Father. And I wanted to touch on something you said about, you know, we're all equal, but when you talked about, you know, I want to bring this up because we talk about leadership and all that, and sometimes people truly, you know, that's one of the things that men sometimes have issues with is the authority and structures of church. And sometimes a lot of men don't, they just don't want to deal with it. They see it just like everything else, you know. They see it as like in the, on the job. They see it as like in the military, you know, it's the pastors. And but if we have to understand that, you know, people have roles. God has ordained pastors and leaders and overseers and deacons and elders. Those are roles that they have, but they, but we still have to see them as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think if we get, when we get to that point and we forget that, you know, Christ, God sees us all the same, but God has given us each separate responsibilities and roles to perform within the body. And we just have to, you know, and sometimes it's hard because, you know, sometimes we know, we all know in this flesh, sometimes things get corrupted and things, you know, there's abuse and there's wrongdoing and things just don't work out right. But for each of us individually, we have to come to the place where we understand and we have patience for. And then, but then again, the scripture teaches us, you know, there's God's way. And if something's not lining up, that's, you know, that's fine. But that's when we sit down and we say we come together and we reason these things out and find out. Because there may be a misunderstanding. And that's the thing that I think in the body of Christ and men, we don't have a patience enough or we don't feel comfortable enough asking questions. And that not asking questions is where the chasm comes in, the separation starts, the things that start to pull the body apart. What do you think about that, sir? Pastor Watkins, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here, sir. I'm sorry. I think it's very important that we ask questions, that we are that inquisitive, because many times it's the misconceptions about Christianity. It's the misconceptions about church and religion that mess us up. It's the things that we think are right, but we don't know for sure, so we go based on an assumption. And as we move on that assumption, we tend to judge people wrongly, or we tend to assume the worst. Whenever you try to prepare yourself for a situation, we always assume the worst in a situation so that we can protect ourselves. The only way to dispel that is to ask questions. The only way to dispel that is to come together. The Bible says, come, let us reason together. And sometimes we have to come together, ask the questions so that we can get a better understanding of our brother, a better understanding of our sister, a better understanding of our leaders, a better understanding of those in ministry around us, rather than to isolate ourselves, which we as men tend to do. We isolate ourselves. We believe that we are the only ones going through what we're going through and dealing with what we're dealing with, and that if I let you in, then you're going to use it to get over on me, or you're going to use it to take advantage of me. So we isolate ourselves rather than to coming together and trying to reason out situations. It's important for us to come together and communicate. You know, the scripture that we read last week in Acts, where it says they came together and they were all on one accord. Well, you can't get on the same accord if you don't know what your brother is. You can't get on the same accord if you don't know what your brother is dealing with and going through. You can't get on the same accord unless you're both believing the same thing, and you don't know that unless you ask questions about what they believe. The Bible says two cannot walk together except they agree. And that doesn't mean that you agree in principle. You have to understand what's going on, and you can't do that unless you communicate. So here, again, is the problem we have as men. We don't communicate. We make assumptions. We stand on formalities. We see things the way we see it, and we go based on that assumption, because as men, we're taught that we have to stand on the decision and stand on it, even if we're standing against everybody else. Well, in some instances, yeah, that's true. But sometimes we have to ask questions to dispel the ignorance that is in the room so that we can get a better understanding. What do you think, sir?
Amen. So, you know, I agree, because that's part of it. That's really part of it. And that's why we, when we talk here, it's just Christian Minnesota, we talk about men's ministry. These are the opportunities. Again, you know, we have to understand that everybody is not at the same level, and a lot of folk, again, if we're going out and evangelizing, we're going to get folk who are not raised in the church and don't have the etiquette, don't have the background. they just have, you know, what their life experiences. But when we start to build those relationships and build those trusts through the fellowship, through the coming together, through the teaching of Scripture, studying of Scripture, working together, a common, like you said, having all things in common, and growing to build relationships with each other, we can better reach each other and better have those relationships where a lot of the things that we have to deal with, we don't have to deal with, because we let the grace of God, we let the love of God, we let the Holy Spirit within us connect with the Holy Spirit in our brother, and thereby we can connect and we can fulfill what God has called us to do. I want to go to the scripture real quick, because it says about in 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 22, it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, loving one another fervently with a pure heart. And that's something we have to really get to. That's not something that's going to happen automatically. That, because when that word there says fervently, and that's saying that I'm stretching myself a little bit more to show love towards my brother, to my sister, to the body of Christ. I'm not going to, you know, where I would cut people off or I would have be short with people. I won't do that in the body of Christ. That I'm going to stretch myself, and that's that sacrificial love. That's that when we like you said, when we're in a relationship and we're in a bond and we're committed, we're going to, you know, if everybody stretched themselves to care for another person, we could overcome a lot of things. Because even when a person doesn't get it right all the time, how much love are we willing to show? How much more of ourselves are we going to sacrifice so that the relationship can grow, can take root, can overcome whatever it is? So it could be a whole lot of things. And we just talk about men reaching out to men, but even in the broader body of Christ, that if we had the true fruit of the Spirit, if we had the patience and the love and all those things that, again, I say sometimes turn into cliches, there'd be a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, there's been another cliche, the church hurt. There would be less hurt if we really applied the word of God and what it says, how we treat one another. What do you think, sir?
I agree with you completely. You know, the scripture is wonderful. I was reading it and it says, since you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit, that means that we believe the things that God has said. And if we believe the things that God has said, then we should begin to put them into practice by showing the love that is necessary for one another. Now, that word fervently is the same word that is used in the scripture where it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which is that same word, fervent. And it means to put some effort into it. It means to put some diligence behind it, to push through it. It doesn't mean that you wait haphazardly for things to happen. It doesn't mean that you are just waiting for things to give opportunity for it. No. It means that you're putting some effort behind this. There's a word that I'm looking for here. Not you're purposeful in what you're doing. You're doing it on purpose. And that's the term that we need to be using here when we talk about fervently. It's on purpose. I'm loving you on purpose. I'm praying for you on purpose. I'm supporting you on purpose. I'm supporting you and backing you up on purpose because you're my brother. And the word says that we show this is how we know that we are in Christ, that we show love one for another. So if I believe that word in the truth, if I believe that truth, then I'm going to now love you on purpose. I'm going to be your friend on purpose. I'm going to be your brother on purpose because this is what the word is telling us to do. To love them fervently, that means to put the effort behind it. You don't just do it because this is the way you feel. It's not a feeling anymore, okay? It's not something that gives you goosebumps. I'm not talking about that kind of love. I'm not talking about the kind of love that can be mistaken for a common cold with, you know, chills and butterflies in your stomach and feeling weak in the knees. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a love that is a decision, a love where you just say, I'm deciding to love you because the word tells me I should, and I believe what the word says. That the word says that God so loved, so I should love as well. So So these are the things that we have to do. We have to put purpose. We have to be purposely minded, not haphazardly. Oh, I'll call my brother whenever I get a chance, or I'll call him whenever I can. We got to put some purpose behind it. And we as brothers don't always put purpose in, behind everything that we do. We wait for opportunities. We wait for the things to present themselves to us. And sometimes it's not about presenting them things to us. It's about putting the effort behind it and doing it on purpose. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You're right, and that's one of the things that we talk about in the men's groups, and especially at our Man Up event, that we should be on purpose reaching other men. It's not waiting until Sunday. You know, if you the only time that you talk to your brother or you see your brother or you in contact with your brother is on a Sunday morning service, you're not in real fellowship, and we're not trying to reach. We're not trying to engage. We're not on purpose calling a brother, texting a brother, you know, reaching out. We have technology now. We can email, Facebook, whatever, that we are in connect because we have a better chance of connecting with them being that now, you know, churches are we all spread out and we all don't live in the same community. But, however, with the technology, we still can. How hard is it for you to call your brother once a week? Or for you in the church and there's, you know, there's men, five men. You know, I gave a challenge once to some brother. I said, well, how many of you have the men that are in the group, how many of you have their phone cell numbers or their home numbers or their emails? And then and we take it to the thing on a Sunday morning. How many of the men that you say you're in fellowship with that are part of your church, do you have their phone numbers? Just the little thing. Do you have their phone number? Or do if they call you, or you don't even know who it is, and you need to go to voicemail because your number's not saved in your phone. You know what I mean? And it's things like that we have to, you know, stop and look at those little things. Are we truly in that fellowship? And are we really doing what God says, how we should favor and fervently seek after to build relationship with the body of Christ, within the body of Christ? Amen? This is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and I'm here with Pastor Larry Watkins. And today we're talking about relationships. We're talking about how we view and how we establish our friendships with our brothers in Christ, those who profess Christ. And what are we doing to fervently reach out and build those ties and build those relationships one to another? Because again, we are called as a church to encourage each other, to uphold each other, to pray for each other, to grow together, to help us walk through this thing. But no man, because Christianity is not the religion of being alone. I know we have these, you know, the monks go sit on top of a mountain and whatever and all that, but that's not what Christ came for. Christ came to bring us together in unity. Again, if we take the example from the book of Acts, they came together and they were on one accord in unity. And we got to remember, those it started with the 12, and then at the upper room, 120, And that's how Christianity spread, and the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ got out by those faithful ones who encouraged and supported one another. Amen. Amen. So that's Watkins. I'm gonna move to our second segment here. And we're gonna talk about our associates and friendships and how important that is. You know, we have that scripture we talk about. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 15. We talked about being on one accord, walking together. I want to find it real quick. Be patient. I got an old-fashioned paper Bible. I don't have my digital. Amen? We're going to turn to it real quick. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. I want to read it here for my listeners. It says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." And I think that talks about our associates and our friendships, from our worldly associates and our worldly friends. You know, and when let me be honest with the brothers. It's those people you work with, the men that you hang with, who could be your best buddies before salvation, or you know them, but you know they're not saved, and how much time we really spend with them, or do we guard our time and our influence? Because sometimes they can have more influence on us than we have on them. And then a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't want to cut them off. I can't minister to them if I'm not around them. That's fine. But you have to understand, you can't let them influence you more than you're influencing them. And you have to know when to cut that thing off or balance it, that you're spending time with them and you're on purpose when you're with them. What do you think about that, sir?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, we used to have an old saying that if you stand around a hot dog stand long enough, guess what happens? You eat a hot dog. And that means that if you stick around something long enough, it begins to affect you. And eventually you begin to indulge. And many times we hang out with our brothers, we hang out with our friends and our so-called friends and associates, and they end up being stronger in their wrong than we are in our right. What do I mean? I mean that they end up being stronger in their sin than we are in our Christianity, and what ends up happening is their sin begins to affect our Christianity, and we end up in sin. Many times you're hanging around your brothers or your coworkers, and they're cussing up a storm. And then you wonder why, when you get in a situation, the first thing you want to do is cuss at somebody. It's because that's what you've been hanging around. A friend of mine used to have a saying. He said that association brings on assimilation. That means that whatever you're around, you become, which is what the scripture is saying, that when you hang around corruption, when you hang around evil, it corrupts your habits. When you hang around people that have bad habits, you're going to end up with bad habits. If you hang around people that are doing the wrong thing, eventually you're going to do the wrong thing yourself. Now, we always say, well, you know, Jesus sat with the drunkards and he sat with, yeah, but he didn't sit with them to drink with them. He sat with them to convert them, to tell them the truth, to give them a better understanding and to let them know that there's a better way. Anybody that he talked to, he didn't sit there and talk to find out, you know, how to be in their situation. He wanted to see how he could improve their situation and let them know that he had a word that could enlighten them. Hence, is the same with us. We have to not be in the midst of so many conversations that are not healthy for us. And that means sometimes you got to tell your brothers, look, man, you know, y'all gonna have to stop cussing around me because I'm not feeling it. You know, you're gonna have to tell your coworkers, you know what? Let me tell you about my weekend at church rather than you tell me about your weekend at the club. And we have to end up being stronger in our good than they are in their evil or in their bad. And a lot of times it's vice versa. That's why the Bible that's why we used to have the term in church that missionary dating doesn't work, because the person who is bad usually ends up being stronger than the person who is good and pulls them down. So you have to be careful who you associate and how you associate with them. I'm not saying that you pull yourself away and be a hermit. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you have to make sure that when you associate, you're there, but you're not really in the midst of everything that's going on. And then you have to be willing to pull yourself out and go to a place where you can fortify yourself, that you can strengthen yourself, and then come out stronger. Many times Jesus pulled himself away, went to the mountain to pray, and then he came back and dealt with the people. He came back and dealt with the disciples. Sometimes you got to pull yourself away, strengthen yourself, and then go deal with your associates and your friends. What do you think, sir?
Amen. You're absolutely correct. And that's where the wisdom comes in and discernment that we need to have. And again, we have to build ourselves up because, again, we're not called to sit on a mountaintop and become hermits and sit up in monasteries. We're called to affect the world. We can't be salt and light if we're not in amongst the world. But to all those things, we have to be building ourselves up. That's prayer, that's fellowship, that's being in, again, being connected with the local body, being connected with other men, being in that connection so that we build up so when we go out. Again, we're called to go and be salt and light. But we have to have some light in us to take into the dark places. We have to be men who can bring order to the chaos. Because a sinner is going to do, sinner, unbeliever, they're going to do, they're going to say what they do and say. But they have to be able to see something different in us. And, you know, we talk about this a lot, you know, and our bishop says it a lot. It's not about quoting a bunch of scripture. Because I've known men who can quote scripture up and down, but their lives were a wreck. So it's, again, it's what people see in us. They see our character. They see our moral choices. And again, because it happens to me myself, in the midst of conversations, I'm like, you know what? That doesn't even make sense. And, you know, and sometimes you have to engage folk in a way that you can speak righteousness about a conversation that is not right. You know, we're talking about, you know, lust, talking about women and all kinds of stuff, these conversations. And, you know, sometimes you tell them straight out, you know, I'm kind of offended by what you're saying because I really don't want to hear it. And that's just, you know, coming to in a way, because we don't have to be meek and weak Christian men. That's another thing. That's a whole other show we could talk about. But I could tell somebody, if they're telling us, like you said, all this cussing and all this other stuff around me, you know, don't do it when I'm here. I'm offended by it. And I don't want it, and I definitely don't want to hear it. So, I mean, you know, unless you speak up, it's going to continue. So sometimes you have to take a stand at being a man of God in the midst of it all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So and I want to talk about our associates. We talk about now being around the righteous, because Scripture calls us to be around, to hang around our godly friends for a reason. You know, it's a reason why we need one another. We need each other to gain strength. We need each other to be able to stand in the midst. And I'm going to read from Romans chapter 15, verse 1. It talks about we then who are strong are to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. That each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but it is written, the reproach of those who reproach you fell on me. And I read that scripture, and that's about, we have to stand in the gap for one another. We have to be able to strengthen our weaker brother. And the only way, and that's what I was saying about us being, we have to be prepared. It's going to be through our fellowship that's going to prepare us to go out. Now, I remember when I first got saved, you know, once you proclaim Christ and you're a new Christian, especially for young new Christians, when they're challenged in the world, they don't seem to have all the answers. And that's when their faith can be shaken. Again, I know that, like, again, I like to say that there's a lot of people out here who know Scripture, but they're not living by it and they're not mortal, but they use it to try and break down young folk. I mean, young people young in their faith. I won't say young folk. People young in their faith, because they can't answer all their questions. And that's why we need to encourage one another. Because, you know, I've learned a long time ago, you know, in Bible studies that if people ask you questions, all you can say is you don't know, but you can find out. Because you don't have to answer everything right there. We don't have to be great theologians and memorize all doctrine. Our faith, we're confirmed in our salvation is one thing. For us to be able to, if we come to maturity, then we're able to discuss the things of God in a way that an unbeliever can understand it. But that comes with us doing the work that we need to do in our study to show ourselves approved and to our coming to understanding what Scripture means to be able to discuss it. And you know, and don't get caught up when people throw scriptures at you and this is what they think it means and why it's not true and all the other things they try to do to tell us that Christianity is not right. But, I mean, I digress. It's important that we encourage one another, that we are encouraging, uplifting of one another. What do you think about that, sir?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's important for us that we bear the infirmities of the weak, that we stand with our brothers to help keep them strong, to help build them up, you know, to help be there, to not condemn them, but to stand beside them. You know, I gave the analogy earlier of how we come together and pray, we lock arms. And many of times when I'm doing that, to come together and pray when we lock arms, I have one of the brothers who has two brothers standing on either side of him. He locks arms, and then one brother I purposely say for him to go weak in the knees. And he drops a little bit, but he's still standing because there are two brothers standing on either side of him holding him up until he can get his legs under him to get sure and stand for a while. When we talk about the scripture about bearing the infirmities of the weak, it means that we have to be strong for our brothers while they're not strong until they get to the point when they're able to be strong and stand. That means that we have to sometimes walk with them, help them, you know, through some things and deal with their situations with them, and not just be about superficially, well, brother, I'm praying for you. Well, no, it takes a little bit more than prayer. Yeah, you pray for me, but I also need you to keep me from going to the strip club. I also need you to keep me from picking up the bottle. I also need you to keep me from going over to her house. That means that when I call, I'm going to need your help, bro, because I'm saying, man, I'm about to slip, you know. Man, I'm about to fall. Man, I'm about to do something I'm not supposed to do. And at that point, I don't need you to go into prayer with me. I need you to come get me. I need you to now put some action. Remember we said we have to do things on purpose? We need to now put some action behind that and help go get our brother, help go get our brother from that situation, go get our brother and keep him from going there. I had a friend of mine when I was growing up that he kept, you know, he was in a particular situation, and the only way that we could keep him, we prayed for him, we got him delivered from that situation, but the only way that we could keep him out of it was for me to keep him with me, you know, and many times I endured a lot of scrutiny because I kept him with me, but nobody ever understood why. But it's still a bond between him, me and him today, because I made sure that, you know, he needed when he needed me, I was there for him, and vice versa. When I needed him, he was there for me. And even though we may not be blood brothers, we still consider each other brothers. So these situations are the thing that we need to do as brothers. When we come to having those friendships, these are friendships. When it comes to having those brothers by our side, it means that we have to be there for them on purpose, to be there, to be their strength when they're not strong, so that when they have the strength, they can stand. Because one day it might be us that's not strong, and we're going to need somebody to help us to stand. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You're absolutely correct. You know, it's that is what it's all about, really, because we need to understand each other. Again, if we look back at Scripture, if we understand and study the Word, you know, it was Paul and Barnabas. It was Peter and I can't think of the brother's name. But you know, well, Jesus sent them out two by two, and they traveled together and they encouraged one another. Even Paul and Peter, you know, they ministered together for a while. But it's we have to keep each other encouraged. You know, it was Barnabas and John Mark. Even after Paul didn't want to be around John Mark anymore, but Barnabas knew that he went on to carry and stay with and encourage John Mark. So he come down through centuries of time, he wrote one of the Gospels because someone kept to him. And that's what we have to really reach out to be able to do. Oh, I'm thinking Paul and Timothy. That's what I was trying to think. That, you know, we have to have those kind of relationships in our lives. And it's just not one-on-one. It could be a group of men. And that's why it's important that when we talk about men's ministry and men coming together, so that those bonds are there, so men are not alone. You know, brother tells me all the time, you know, we have more things in common as men than we have different, because the seasons of life are all the same. We have husbands, fathers, and sons. Every man is destined to walk in that role at some time in their life. And some of us have been through it, some of us are going through it, some of us are in it now. But we all have that wisdom, with the wisdom of God and discernment and with the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we can help each other grow through and encourage each other through. And the things and the mistakes that I've made, those coming behind me shouldn't make the same mistakes. We should be able to mentor them through it. And that's why we say it's important for men to reach one another, because only a man can reach a man. And I wanted to read real quick from Matthew. I believe it's Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 is verse number 12. And what it says there, it says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And that's one version of the golden rule. That's do unto others as you would have them unto you. Because I know if I ever fell or was going through something, I would pray that a brother would reach out to me and not leave me there, or find out something's going on with me and come in and come see about me, reach out to me. And if we do it, then we know someone that God will have someone in our life that'll do it for us. And that's what I think is most important about our friends, choosing who our friends are and really making friends. The associates thing is just something, you know, because we come in contact with a lot of folk, and not everyone's going to be our friend, but we should be on purpose as men that we have friends and men who are looking out for us, you know, our souls, through our walk, and just help us. Amen?
Amen.
You listen to Issues, Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Sawyer here with Pastor Larry Watkins. And we're talking about some of the relationships, some of the different relationships and as men that we have in our lives and how we should be handling them. Because we come in contact with a lot of people in our work life, in our great social life, in our church life. But we have to be, this is all about us. It's not so much how people treat us, it's how we treat people and how we respond. But right now we're going to talk about our enemies and those who misuse us and how, as Christian men, how we should respond to that. Because, as you know, our first instinct, some of us is, you know, I'm not taking it. I'll lay hands on you, and I'm not talking in a good way. But, or even, you know, we'll say something. We'll go off on people. We want to read people out. We want to let people know. All of that thing is all the emotion. But what does God say that we should do with our enemies? What is God saying? Because remember, before we came to him, we were enemies to him. Because we were lost, we were sinners, and we were disobedient. So how do we do, first as Christians, how should we treat our enemies? What do you think, sir?
This is a hard subject. This is a hard saying. You know, the Bible used to say these are hard sayings. Who can hear them? This is a hard thing because, you know, the world says that to get even. The world says that you have to get back. The world says that, you know, give an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. These are the things that the world says. But the Bible says that we're to love those that despitefully use you, that we're supposed to care for those that treat us wrong, that we're supposed to pray for those that do harm to us. And this is a hard thing to do, you know. How do you love someone that's treating you mean? You know, how do you love someone that's constantly talking about you behind your back? How do you love someone that you know that if they get the opportunity, they're going to betray you? How do you constantly love them? How do you constantly pray for them? You know, and it's a hard thing. It takes a lot of love. It takes a lot of belief that you know, when I do this, it's not about what you're doing to me. It's about the love that I'm showing you. It's about the love of God that's in me that I'm now allowing to show to you, because I'm showing you that there's a different way to live. And the Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will repay. And it means that I don't have to do anything about it. I don't have to get you back. I don't have to make sure that I repay you for everything that you've done to me. I don't have to stab you in the back because you stabbed me in the back. I don't have to steal your woman because you stole my woman. No, that's not the way things go. The Bible says that we have to pray for them, and many times pray that God would have mercy on them, that they don't suffer as much as we suffered, because we know what we went through. And we have to be able to be mature enough. This is the word I'm looking for here, D. This is a mature Christian that is able to say to his brother, you know what, I know that you're talking about me behind my back, but I'm going to love you anyway. I know that as soon as we leave here, you're going to spread my business, but I'm just going to, you know, watch it, and you can spread it as much as you want to, but just know that it's coming out of my mouth first, and it's a testimony when it comes out of your mouth is gossip. You know, you got to know that there's brothers that are going to do that, but you got to love them anyway. I was reading a book once, and it talked about Jesus Christ, and he healed. It says in one scripture when he was talking about feeding people, he said that he healed all of them. And the writer brought up an interesting point. He said, how many of those people did Jesus know that they were going to, even after he healed them, they were going to go out and do something wrong, that they were going to go out and steal, that they were going to go out and treat somebody else wrong, that they were going to go out and kill somebody, or they were going to go out and hate somebody? He said Jesus knew all of these things about all the people, but he healed them anyway, because the Bible said that he was moved with compassion. He was moved by his love for them, not by what they were going to do after he healed them. Because if truth be told, none of us would be saved if it was a matter of what we were going to do after we got saved. He wouldn't have died for us because he knew that we were going to sin right again. And that's why he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, because he knows we're going to mess up. But he loves us anyway. And this is the love that we have to show. The same love that he uses when he died on the cross is the same love we have to show to our brothers or to our enemies that we know are talking about us behind our back, that we know are using us, that we know are not really our friends, but we have to be willing to love them enough, show them something different, show them a different lifestyle, show them a different principle, and love them with the love of God and allow God to deal with them. But we also have to pray that he has mercy upon them and that they get the grace to deal with it better than we, so that it doesn't hurt them as much as it hurt us, which is the maturity of a Christian. What do you think, Deacon?
Sir, you're absolutely correct, because that maturity, that word, I'm going to lock in on that, because I want to bring this back to those in the church. When we talk about, again, we have that the word, that cliche of church hurt and people misuse you within the body of Christ. There's two parts to that. You know, we sometimes we put people on pedestals and our expectations are so high that if they don't meet our expectations, we're offended. And that is, you know, that's some of the things that we deal with. They may not have misused us. They may not even know they upset us or offended us because the things they were doing. Because again, you tend to keep it to yourself and you're not in fellowship and you're not in a relationship where you could talk about it and try and seek to resolve it and seek reconciliation. This is how things fester, and this is where the enemy gets his foothold in. Because if we sought to reconcile with our brothers and our sisters, a lot of things that people call church hurt would not happen. And then, even if that person is their level of spiritual maturity, understanding, or growth, then we should love them. We talked about it earlier. Those who are strong should bear the burdens of the weak. And that's where, you know, when you use that word maturity, I wanted to bring that back and to talk about folk in the church, how we treat one another in the body of Christ. Because I think that's where we have a lot of this. Because people, you know, some even, you know, believers, we have a certain expectation for the unsaved, but then we have a higher expectation sometimes for the saved folk, that they have to get it all together. Because being, you know, being saved and is not being perfect. You know, being sinless and perfect is two separate things. But it's, you got to remember, though, it's easy if we can only love those who make us happy, the ones we call our friends, the ones we get along with. That's easy to love. And the Bible says that doesn't mean anything. I can love somebody who's being good to me, but how do I love those who are wrong, who wronged me or misused me? Or I disagree with. And that's where we see the full level of a mature love. And if we don't have that, if we can't love our enemies as the scripture teaches, we're not finished. That right there is our incompleteness, and that should be our prayer, that God help me get to that place. Because remember, if we look back at scripture, it's written in all the Gospels, but Jesus said, forgive them. And they crucified them, they beat them, they nailed him to the cross. He's hanging, bleeding, and he still looked down on them. And his words, the words he used, I found it here. I found it in Luke 23:34. And he says, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And that was it. That's what we have to come to. Can we look at those who misuse us, who do wrong, or even have evil intentions towards us? It's a heart thing, too. I'm not going to say that you have to stand and take abuse or whatever, but it's a heart thing that we have to understand. When we talk about forgiveness, we have to understand what that truly means. It is a heart thing. It's a spirit thing. And how are we going to respond? Because, we all have, some of us have, we have family members, we have people who we do stuff for. And you know you're doing stuff for folks, and they can't pay. They'll never be able to pay you back, and they'll even say thank you. And you try and help them in all kinds of ways, praying, talking to them, whatever, giving them money. They're never going to say thank you. But it's God is going to measure your heart, because that to you could be an offense that's going to put a blemish on you, on your heart, more than what they're doing. And that's what we have to be as men. And anybody of Christ. What do you think, sir?
I agree with you, Dee. You know, we had a saying at our churches that hurting people hurt people. And we have to realize that when we go into churches, we're going into places where there are hurt people. And in the midst of their hurting, they lash out. They don't always have the maturity of a Christian or the maturity that is needed. And many times they lash out of their pain, and because of their pain, they hurt us. Hence the term church hurt, as we've been using before. Also, it's when people decide that they want to do what the Spirit is supposed to do. The Bible says that the Spirit convicts. The Bible says that the word cuts. It is not for our tongues to cut. It's not for our mouths to cut. It's not for us to be the one who convicts. It's the Spirit that convicts. What we have to do is to be able to speak the truth in love. These are things that we must learn as Christians to be mature. These are things that we must learn so that we don't become the ones who are biting in our words, so that we don't become the ones who are the ones who are hurting and reach out and hurt somebody. You know, when I was taking Christian counseling, there were two types of people. There were two types of healers. There was an unhealed wounder, and then there was a wounded healer. Let me tell you what the difference is. An unhealed wounder is a person that has gone through a pain. They haven't healed from it, but yet they're trying to minister out of that pain. And what they end up doing in ministering out of that pain, they hurt more people rather than helping them. That's an unhealed wounder. But then you have a wounded healer, and that's a person who's been wounded, who's gone through recovery, who's learned through their situations, and that person can now help people to deal with what they're going through because they've already been through it and can tell them how to come out of it. Those two type of people, those are the two type of people we find in church. Now, it's better to be the latter of the two. This is where maturity comes in. This is where the love comes in. This is where the understanding comes in. This is where it comes in that we begin to become the living epistles known and read of men because we're allowing our lives to show because we've been through it, and even though you may look like you're still in it, we can tell you you're coming out of it. Rather than being the unhealed wounder who's still dealing with his pain and allowing his pain to bite out and hurt other people, this is the genesis or the nexus of a church hurt, and it's because there are people who are still hurting, there are people who have not matured, there are people who are trying to be what God is supposed to be and trying to do the work the Spirit is supposed to do. And these are all things that we face in church. So we have to come together and educate. We have to come together and provide what we're providing here, a sense of knowledge to give them a better understanding that there is another way, that is a better life, and that we need to mature as Christians and show the real love. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. Amen. You're absolutely right. I wanted to read one more scripture because I want to sum up this whole show today on the one scripture. It's 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 20. And it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And for he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And I take that as the whole conversation that we had today about how we treat one another in all circumstances, in all terms. And I agree with what you were saying. We have to have the love of Christ with folk and patience and grace. And for those of us, you know, who know where we came from, who know our sins and the sins that were forgiven and what God has cleansed us from, delivered us from, redeemed us from, and that Jesus Christ shed his blood to reconcile us back to the Father, we should, most of all, have compassion with those around us. Like you said, let God be God, let the Holy Spirit and the Word help people and change people, and we just love them through their process, through their sanctification. So I pray that this is something that you heard tonight will help you. I pray that you are blessed and you're encouraged. Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Pastor Larry Watkins. We're on every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. If you're listening online, You can call at 646-668-2636. And if you listen and you want to, you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show and share it with your friends by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And you can always reach us and see the link for these shows on Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. Pastor Watkins, your closing statement, sir.
We've been talking about this love thing for the whole show. And if you ever really want to know how you're supposed to love and how love is supposed to work, how am I supposed to act if I'm showing love? All we have to do is simply go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and read that chapter. It tells us how we're supposed to act. It tells us how we're supposed to move in love. Love does not act unseemly. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It does not seek its own. It's not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. And it endures all things because love never fails. This is how love moves. And if we really want to know how it does, we need to read that chapter and abide by it. Thank you for the opportunity, Deke.
Amen, sir. God bless you. Again, this is the Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And Pastor Larry Watkins, we thank you. God bless you. And again, listen to us on Mondays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. God bless you, sir. Have a good evening.
Likewise, sir. God bless you.